The season is over. That means it's time for our 2022 Sacramento Kings reviews, and we start with the face of the franchise, De'Aaron Fox. Did he take a step back this season, or was what he did the second half of the season following the Domantas Sabonis trade enough to at least break even? I'm going to be joined by Sacramento Kings legendary radio announcer Gary Gerald for this and all of our reviews. Let's get it started on the Locked On Kings podcast.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is that time. Time for another episode of Locked On Kings.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Kings, your podcast hub for Sacramento Kings coverage all regular season and all offseason. If you're looking for in-depth analysis, game-by-game breakdowns, highlights, interviews with local and national experts, full coverage of your Sacramento Kings from January through December, this is the place for you, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered all season with props, odds, and lines more than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here. Just wrapped up my 8th season covering the Sacramento Kings. Looking forward to season number 9. This is my 5th year now hosting the Locked On Kings podcast, currently working for ABC 10 News in Sacramento. And no surprise where we're starting our reviews, talking about one De'Aaron Fox. And he had a long season, to say the least, even though he missed a fair portion of time because of multiple injuries. De'Aaron Fox, I don't think it's fair or safe to say at all that this was a great year by any means for De'Aaron, which was one of my expectations and what I was looking for from him coming into this year. But before we get into my thoughts, my breakdown on the season that De'Aaron had and what I need to see from the King Star going forward, we're actually going to start this in every single review with the G-Man, Gary Gerald, longtime Sacramento Kings radio play-by-play announcer. Instead of holding him till after you hear me blab, his input is the most important input that you're going to get. So we're going to start with it right off the jump. Here is my conversation, brief conversation with G-Man, his thoughts on the season that De'Aaron Fox had. All right, so G-Man, not a surprise where we're starting here with one De'Aaron Fox, who admittedly in his press conference here recently said that with the exception of the final 15 or so games of the season that he played after the trade, he felt that he did not play up to his abilities. It was a kind of a tale of two seasons for Fox in a lot of ways. What did you think, your overall assessment of season 5 for number 5?
I think we were all somewhat intrigued and a bit mystified at the fact that he didn't seem to be the De'Aaron Fox we had become accustomed to in the early part of the season. But then certainly after the All-Star break, it was like somebody had flipped the switch, and here was the De'Aaron we were expecting to see, I think, throughout the season. And certainly the numbers would indicate, you know, just how effective he was. And I think it's too easy sometimes for people to dismiss the fact, my gosh, the guy was averaging almost 30 points a game since the All-Star break. I mean, those are extraordinary numbers. And I just, you know, it was such a shame that he ends up hurting the hand. And the hand was really a painful, significant injury. And people say, well, you know, he could have toughed it out and played late in the season. I don't know that he could have. He was on the trip. I was traveling late in the season, and I know how much discomfort he had and how much swelling there was, and he couldn't even dribble the basketball. Mm-hmm. So it came as no surprise that he did not play over the stretch of the season. But I think that, you know, what hurts is the fact that I would have loved to see he and Sabonis both be healthy for the final 3 weeks of the season and be able to get those reps and continue to develop the momentum and the feel for each other's game, which I'm sure they're going to work on a lot this summer.
I asked De'Aaron about this in his end of season press conference. The camera caught him a number of times over the final couple weeks of the season, being a very active coach on the sidelines, yeah. And especially with Davion Mitchell. And De'Aaron basically said, I was just sharing my opinion and kind of deflected it from him. But he's talked about growing as a leader in the past. What did you make of that presence that he provided on the bench in street clothes?
I loved it. I love seeing him active that way. I like seeing him in the year of Davion in particular. I think that indicates that there's already a camaraderie and a certain amount of respect between the two. Otherwise, I don't think he'd be volunteering, you know, to be, you know, in a coaching type mode while he was injured. I like the fact that they have skills. And of course, it's a big question about how are they going to be able to, whoever the coach turns out to be, incorporate these two. And, you know, do you turn to Davion as a sixth man role, like a, you know, a Bobby Jackson from the years gone by with the Kings? Or do you start them together? Can they play together and be compatible? There are a lot of things that will have to be sorted out and worked out by the time they get to training camp and through training camp next fall.
There were rumors and reports that De'Aaron wasn't too happy coming into this season with how the Kings handled their offseason. McNair drafting back-to-back point guards, and Fox not feeling necessarily like he got the help that he needed and this team needed to take that next step forward. And then we saw, like you talked about, a world of difference, even game one of Fox playing with Sabonis, the embrace that they had after the game. You could almost see the relief on Fox's face playing with a big man like that, that he has not played with at any point in his NBA career so far. What do you make of the kind of night and day difference there? And do you understand those frustrations, or do you think that as a player who's paid as much as he is, viewed as the guy here in Sacramento, that's something that he needs to kind of put behind him, or not allow that to affect his game how it may have this season?
Well, I think that it's just pure speculation on any of our parts, because unless you have day-to-day conversations with De'Aaron and you're in his inner circle, so to speak, I don't think we really know how what he was feeling, what any frustrations may have been, if there were any revelations along the way, if, you know, he embraced suddenly a change in personnel. I just think that's all speculative. I certainly don't have any great insights along those lines. I just know that the young man has a terrific amount of talent, and I think if the Kings are going to have success, he's going to be a big part of it.
We're going to get to my comments on Fox's season in a second, but before that, I want to tell you about a couple of great sponsors here of the Locked On Kings podcast. The first being Athletic Greens. Athletic Greens, it's lifestyle friendly, whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, or gluten-free, contains less than 1 gram of sugar, no GMOs, no nasty chemicals or artificial anything, while still tasting good. These are supplements that help your health across the board. And the biggest thing they do, at least for me, is they support better sleep quality and recovery, supports mental clarity and alertness. It's the one thing that's the best thing. Athletic Greens uses the best of best products based on the latest science with constant product iterations and third-party testing. And all this stuff, you would think, man, this is probably expensive if it does all these things for me. Is this good for me? Eating healthy and getting the right health for you typically is a little bit expensive. Athletic Greens is not. It costs you less than $3 a day. You're investing in your health, and it's cheaper than your cold brew habit. It's cheaper than getting all the different supplements yourself. You're investing in an all-in-one nutritional insurance. Check it out right now. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/NBA Network. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/NBA Network to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Locked On Kings also brought to you by Built Bars, keeping the health train going. Hill Built Bars are protein bars that taste like candy bars, soft, easy to chew, covered 100% chocolate, absolutely delicious. They will manage that sweet tooth for you while getting rid of that guilt that you feel sometimes after eating one, two, or too many candy bars. We've all been there. Built Bar wants to keep you there, but make it a lot easier and a lot healthier for you. They're protein bars that come in so many different flavors, from mint brownie, coconut, coconut almond. Right now, they have an all new white chocolate cookies and cream bar for you to try. They're all delicious. If you're a fruit lover, they have fruit bars like orange and raspberry as well. Most bars are 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. Way better than 240 calories and 30 grams of sugar, dozens of net carbs that you get from your average candy bar. And in addition to bars, you can also, if you're a marshmallow fan, try their new Marshmallow Puffs, which is the first ever protein-infused marshmallow. No idea how they do it, but it tastes delicious and it's good for you. Whatever you get on Built.com, use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off. Again, that's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. So you heard the wise words of G-Man, his thoughts on the season of De'Aaron Fox and De'Aaron's responsibilities going forward. And now it's my breakdown and your breakdown as well. I want to hear your thoughts on De'Aaron's season. I know there were a lot of frustrations with De'Aaron this year, and in many ways, rightfully so. I said before the Tyrese Haliburton trade, it felt like fans were, I'm not going to say all fans, but there were at least vocal fans on social media that were starting to turn on De'Aaron Fox a little bit, starting to not believe that he can be the guy that we were all hoping and expecting him to be when the Kings drafted him number five overall in the 2017 draft. Even though he's being paid as a star and a leader, he hasn't necessarily been there and done that yet. But how much of that is De'Aaron Fox's fault? That's really where we're going to start here, because De'Aaron came into this season noticeably frustrated and didn't play to the level that we expect from him really at all, with the exception of a game or two in the first, maybe even two thirds of the season. And De'Aaron even admitted it himself. He said in his postseason press conference last week, he basically said, look, I know that I can play better than how I played. And he said, with the exception of the first game of the season and the final 15 games that he played after the Domantas Sabonis trade, he felt like he didn't play up to his standards. That was refreshing for me to hear. But now I need to have the on-court work do the talking. But let's go back to what happened during the offseason. More importantly, what didn't happen during the offseason. Buddy Hield's still here. Marvin Bagley's still here. Monty McNair drafts another point guard after drafting Tyrese Haliburton the offseason before. Now, I'm not going to suggest at all, and it would be wrong to suggest in any way, that De'Aaron Fox is not happy or does not get along with both Tyrese Haliburton and Davion Mitchell because they're guards and he can view them as competition that they were drafted in back-to-back Kings drafts. That's not the case at all. De'Aaron has a great relationship with both of them still. And you can see the relationship that he has been building with Davion Mitchell by how much he was coaching Davion, how much he was on the bench leading Davion during the final chunk of the season that he missed with his hand injury, right? And even Tyrese Haliburton. I'm not going to say that the two had as much chemistry on the floor as we wish they had, but there was definitely chemistry off the floor, a good relationship between the two. There was no animosity by De'Aaron Fox towards either of those players whatsoever. So let's dismiss that and get that out of the way completely. However, for a player who is entering his fifth season, who has gotten the contract but is waiting for help that he has not received really at any point during his career, who has gone through multiple head coaches, multiple roster shakeups, seen his friends come and go, saw a coach that he liked in Luke Walton get fired 20 games into the season, De'Aaron was not happy early on in the year. And it's noticeable how rejuvenated he was after the Domantas Sabonis trade, right? Just the embrace between the two of them after the win over the Timberwolves, the first game the two of them played together. It was noticeable how much De'Aaron was recharged by that trade, so much so that he was close to averaging 30 points per game for the stretch that he played after that Sabonis trade. He got back to the Fox that we saw last season, that was a multi-time Western Conference Player of the Week, and that was leading the Kings by carrying him really on his shoulders to their best stretches they played during that season. Now, is that enough? No. But De'Aaron needed help last season. He needed help this season. And it took months, it took until February, for him to get it. So I understand the frustrations that De'Aaron Fox had. However, that is not me making any kind of excuse for De'Aaron. It's not an excuse. Because De'Aaron, quite frankly, needs to be better. It was a term that was overused by former Kings head coach Luke Walton, but De'Aaron really is the head of the snake. The Kings are only going to go as far as De'Aaron Fox takes them. And even if Tyrese Haliburton was playing really, really well and slowly starting to take the keys from De'Aaron a little bit in the first half of the season, we saw the wins not follow. And that's not Tyrese's fault either. That's not to say that Tyrese isn't capable of leading a winning team. I think he's going to be great with the Indiana Pacers. The point is, the Kings were never going to go far if De'Aaron Fox wasn't playing at his all-star, or what I say, fringe all-star level. Meaning if he doesn't make the all-star team, then he's an all-star snub. That's what the Kings need Fox to be every single season, including next season. De'Aaron didn't play like that for more than maybe a month this year after the Sabonis trade, before he got hurt again. De'Aaron needs to be better. And these slow start conversations that we have sometimes excuses that we make for De'Aaron. Well, even last season when he had his best season of his career, he got off to a slow start. It's okay. It's not okay because the Sacramento Kings are not in a position like veteran teams in the NBA, established teams in the NBA, where they can ease into the season through the first 10 or 15 games. While those teams are easing into the season, that's when the Kings need to be jump starting their season. Remember, when the Kings had their best year, that 39-win season under Dave Yeager in 2018-2019, the Kings got off to a red-hot start. They were above 500 in the first part of the season. It was the second half of the year where everything fell apart. The Kings need to jump on teams early, especially with the way they want to play that fast-paced style, especially not being an established team. They don't do that. De'Aaron Fox hasn't done that. And for far too many seasons in his career, it's taken De'Aaron too long to get into that mode to where the Kings are suddenly 5, 6, 7 games under 500. And now they're having to climb out of a hole. De'Aaron needs to be that way game 1, game 2, game 3, game 4, game 5, not just game 1 and game 3 of the season. Because if he is that, then the Kings can get themselves above 500, put themselves in a position to where when they get into the dog days of the season, barring a massive losing streak, which this team needs to get rid of completely, regardless of who's their leader and who's their star, they're able to weather that storm a little bit and at least, worst case scenario, hover around or even at worst dip a game or two below 500 and then work their way out of that with hopefully another winning streak or solid stretch at the end of the year. That all revolves around De'Aaron Fox getting off to a good start, not one of his customary slow starts. That can't happen. Look, statistically across the board, this was a bad season for De'Aaron Fox. Actually, bad, I don't think bad is fair. Maybe fair is fair. It was a fair season for De'Aaron, but not to the expectation that we have as Kings media, that I have as Kings media, that you have as Kings fans. The expectation of this team being a playoff team, which is an ultimate failure this year, didn't even make the freaking play-in. Hell yeah, that falls heavily on Fox's shoulders. Not completely. It's not all on Fox, of course. You can't put anything from the season on one or even two people. But Fox, as the star, as the highest paid guy, as the leader, hell yeah, you're in the spotlight for that, bud. And the spotlight is only going to get hotter next season. I'll talk about that. But De'Aaron's numbers across the board were not good enough. His scoring dropped 2 points per game, 25 to 23. That can't happen. His shooting percentage down across the board dropped from 40, not too much field goal percentage overall, dropped from 4.477% to 0.473%. So only 0.004 of a percentage from field goal percentage. That's not that big of a deal. However, his attempts per game dropped by almost one attempt per game. His 3-point percentage went from 32% to 29%, didn't even get into the 30s there. That's not good for a point guard in the NBA, especially as a star. Even his 2-point field goal percentage dropped. His free throw percentage did go up a tiny bit, which is nice to see, from 71, 72% to 75%. But his assists were down from 7.2 to 5.6. A lot of that, of course, has to do with playing with Tyrese Haliburton. We saw his assists go back up when he started playing with Domantas Sabonis towards the end of the season. Steals went down. Blocks, that doesn't really matter, went down. At least his turnovers went down as well. But pretty much across the board offensively, which is what matters for De'Aaron Fox, his numbers were down. And if Fox's offensive numbers are down, unless someone else suddenly becomes a star in Sacramento, and maybe Sabonis can be that guy, the Kings aren't going to be successful. But then, towards the end of the season, he got it going a little bit more. Towards the end of the season, he figured out, one, how he can benefit from playing alongside Domantas Sabonis, which is opportunities to play off the ball a little bit more. And he had a partner that he's never had before in his career. Truth to be told, Domantas Sabonis for De'Aaron Fox is expected to be, and we saw flashes of, what the Kings were hoping Marvin Bagley would be for De'Aaron Fox, which is that front court partner that the two can play effortlessly off of one another. And the greatest part about Domantas Sabonis, not only is he a two-time All-Star, an established NBA presence that does so much that the Kings need, he's also just barely a year older than De'Aaron is. Fits De'Aaron's timeline, excellent. That's a major part of that trade that I don't think people appreciate enough. But towards the end of his season, really his month of March, end of February and month of March, that's really where we saw De'Aaron get going. These were his final few games of the season: 21 points, 34 points, 41 points, 32 points, 24 points, 44 points, 26, 25, 29, 26, 20, 33, 26, 26, 27, 29. Those were all the games after the Domantas Sabonis trade. You notice I didn't say a single teen in there. It was all 20 or more. A couple 40s. A number of 30s. That's the De'Aaron that the Kings expect and need next season if they're going to be successful. So for me, next season, I mean, this offseason is obviously about De'Aaron continuing to improve, but next season is about two main things for me with Fox. One is he is ready to go from the get-go, game one of the season. He's hitting the ground running, playing well. Looks like he and Domantas Sabonis are ready to go and feeding off of each other and building off each other along with the other teammates that either stay or that Monty brings in this offseason. That's number one. And number two is defensively, De'Aaron just needs to be significantly more engaged. I'm not expecting De'Aaron in one offseason to become a good defender. I know he's capable of being a good defender, but that also requires the nightly effort that I just don't know if you're going to get from De'Aaron. Not forgiving that necessarily, but I'm just trying to be reasonable with what to expect from De'Aaron Fox at this point going into year six of his career. But De'Aaron needs to be significantly more engaged defensively or the team. I mean, no matter what happens with this Kings team, they need to improve defensively, and that's across the board. Just because De'Aaron could average close to 30 points a game offensively doesn't mean that he gets excused for taking plays off defensively and at times costing the Kings wins. So defense needs to get better. Offense, I expect to get back to the De'Aaron Fox levels that we saw at the end of the season, we saw last season. I expect that to happen. I don't need that to happen. I expect it to happen. But I also expect it early on in the season, from game one through game 20, not waiting till game 20 to give it to us on a semi-nightly basis. If that happens, the Kings have a really good chance of making the playoffs, which again is the ultimate end-all be-all goal. If it doesn't happen, Kings are going nowhere, even with Domantas Sabonis and the upgrades that McNair hopefully brings in the offseason. Kings will only go as far as De'Aaron Fox takes them. Today's episode of Locked On Kings also brought to you by our friends at Bet Online, your number one source for all your betting stats and sports information. Of course, you can be betting on all the NBA playoff action right now. And just because the Kings season is over doesn't mean Kings betting is over. You can bet on who their next head coach is going to be, where they end up in the draft lottery. There's so many fun things to bet on, who they will take in the draft eventually. You can bet on that. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including the NBA playoffs going on right now, the start of the MLB season. Bet Online is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and the action at BetOnline, where the game starts. So you've heard from G-Man. You've heard from me. Now I want to hear from you. Your review of De'Aaron Fox's 2021-2022 season. And it's okay to be harsh. The majority of conversations that I've had with Kings fans and podcast listeners this season about De'Aaron Fox have been more negative than positive. And I think he is deserving of that. And truth be told, next season, every excuse that De'Aaron Fox has, for the most part, is gone. Now, of course, if he gets hurt, if someone else important, Domantas Sabonis, knock on wood, gets hurt, or like, those are extreme examples that aren't necessary to bring up in this conversation. If De'Aaron Fox is still the star and leader of this Kings team next year, and Domantas Sabonis is still on this team, the expectations are for this team to make the playoffs, and there no longer is a De'Aaron needs more help argument. There's no longer a De'Aaron gets off to slow starts and he'll be fine argument. Cannot happen. De'Aaron needs to be that all-star or all-star snub next season, or the spotlight that he might have thought was a little bit hot from fans and from media this summer, or rather this season, it's going to get even hotter next season, and it's going to get hot quickly to the point where local media and fans are venting their frustrations, and national media is not caring. How many times did we hear or see the national media talking about De'Aaron Fox this season? Anyone? Remember when De'Aaron Fox versus John Morant, who the better player was? Remember when that was a semi-national conversation and a semi-national debate? People were siding with Fox. People were siding with Durant. It's not a conversation anymore. It's the Ja Morant show. I saw a graphic, and it's not that big of a deal, but I saw a graphic on Twitter today. It said, build your best starting five under 25 team. and it had like the $5 row, the $4 row, $3 row, $2 row, $1 row. You have $15. Build your best under 25 team. De'Aaron Fox wasn't on that list. Wasn't even an option. Not even a $1 option. De'Aaron Fox wasn't even on it. Meaning whoever put that graphic together, and it was a, I think it was like, I don't know who it was. It was a decent basketball Twitter account publication. They think that there are 25 other under 25 players better than De'Aaron Fox worthy of mentioning in that graphic, and Fox was not. Yeah, and Fox is 24 years old. He'll be 25 here soon, I think. That's telling. It's not that significant. It's not that big of a deal. I guarantee you De'Aaron Fox doesn't care about being on that graphic or not. My point is, people outside of Sacramento aren't really talking about Fox. That needs to change next season for Fox's sake and if the Kings want to be a good basketball team. What are your thoughts on Fox? Let me know. At MattGeorgeSack on Twitter. Email me, MattGeorgeSports@gmail.com. Feel free to leave your thoughts in the YouTube comment section down below if you're watching on YouTube. Thank you for your patience and waiting for this episode. Took a few days off for Easter with my family. Hope you had a wonderful Easter. And I can't wait to bring you six straight days, including today, six straight days of Locked On Kings content for you. All season reviews tomorrow. We're going to be focusing on Davion Mitchell. Wednesday is going to be focusing on Monty McNair and Alvin Gentry. Again, every single episode featuring the G-Man Gary Gerald. We're also doing one on Harrison Barnes. I'm doing one on the players acquired after the trade deadline. I'm doing one on a couple of fringe players that were part of this Kings team all season long, like Damian Jones, Chimezie Metu, Terrence Davis. There's so much review content coming this week for the next 6 days for you. And then next week, I already have a couple of great interviews lined up talking about Kings coaches. It might be the offseason and it might be playoffs going on right now, which of course, unfortunately, the Kings for the 16th year aren't involved in. But we're not slowing down content here on Locked On Kings, so I hope you'll stick around for all of it. I appreciate you so, so much. Can't wait to have you join me for all of these review episodes. Until tomorrow, my name is Matt George. You've been listening to Locked On Kings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.